Let's pray together as we look to God's Word. Lord God Almighty, we ask that you would do what you love to do, that you would speak to us, that by the power of your Spirit you would illuminate your Word to us, that you would communicate truth to us, that you'd cause our minds to be brought into alignment with you, you'd cause our hearts to be brought into alignment with you, that in our interactions with your Scripture, that we'd be changed and we'd be conformed to the image of Christ. We pray that you'd be glorified in what goes on inside of us as we interact with you this morning, and also glorified as we live out these truths as we leave here and go and be your hands and your feet, your ambassadors, your agents of reconciliation in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a little phrase that jumped out at me as I was thinking about which aspect of this chapter 8 of Romans to bring to you. We've been reveling in Romans chapter 8. It's been like we jumped into a deep pool of goodness and greatness of God as we've been swimming around in the truths of the text of Romans chapter 8. There's so much here, and I've intentionally been telling myself, don't rush it. Don't rush it. You might only hit one piece, and you might maybe have already preached the beginning and maybe already preached the end, but don't feel like you have to rush on to the next section because there's so much here. And so we're going to swim around in Romans chapter 8 a little bit longer. There's a phrase in verse 14. It says, led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? And as I was thinking that through and trying to figure out what aspect of it to bring to you, I have to confess that my mind did what maybe some of your minds are doing right now. You hear the phrase, led by the Spirit of God, and you jump to other things you've read in other portions of Scripture, or heard in other sermons, or read in other books, and so that's where your brain is going. Well, led by the Spirit of God means this, or led by the Spirit of God means that. And certainly some of those things are true, and unfortunately some of those things are not. One of the things I've observed is that there are those who claim to be led by the Spirit of God who do things and attribute those things to the Spirit, but in reality they're not the promptings and leadings of the Spirit. Now, we want to be cautious here. We are in no way speaking disparagingly of the true leadings of the Holy Spirit. We firmly believe that the Spirit leads people. We firmly believe that that's part of His role. He's got a vast and huge role of leading the children of God into truth and into effective ministry. And we're going to celebrate those, and particularly as we get further into the book of Romans, we're going to be thinking about the ways He gifts and empowers people and helps the church be what the church is supposed to be. We're going to celebrate all of that. We recognize that Luther wrote the famous line in his hymn that says, the Spirit and the gifts are ours. We're not in any way saying, though, those people that talk about spiritual gifts and being led by Him are all off base. We're not saying that at all. But what we are admitting is that there are many times and many situations and many people who attribute something to the leading of the Holy Spirit that wasn't from the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe you thought it was the Holy Spirit and it was indigestion. Maybe you thought it was the Holy Spirit and it was your wife pretending to be the Holy Spirit again. Is my wife the only one that laughed at that one? The only one that's guilty of that? I might have already told this story. I was in Republic of Congo and leading a service of pastors, and there's one guy, anytime he went to worship, just started chattering. And so I stopped the service and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over this service, and I silence any distracting demonic presence. And I create a safe place for true worship to occur, a sanctuary, and we invite the Holy Spirit only to be the influence upon our people right now. Well, that chattering stopped and never happened again. And after our time together, the man came up and said, you know what? I realized I had a false spirit. He thought he was worshiping. He thought he was being a blessing to the group. He was being a great distraction. He was attributing something to the Holy Spirit that had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. One of the times that I chuckle most about someone supposedly being led by the Holy Spirit was while Lisa and I were dating. This young man came up to her and said, God has told me, the Holy Spirit has told me, you're supposed to stop dating Joel and start dating me instead. Now just think about how awful that would have turned out for Lisa if she had listened to that, thinking it was the real message of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we know what God's will was. You're not the only one laughing this time. No, see, the Spirit does lead. But sometimes we hear things, feel things, and attribute them to Him that are not from Him. And so I think it's really important that we understand the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8 before we turn to Romans 12 and 14 and talk about the Holy Spirit there. We need to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing here in our lives before we get to talking about the different giftings and enablements and assignments that He gives. So what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit according to the text of Romans chapter 8? Let's pick it up at Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature or to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And here's our verse. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. A little tiny verse, and it's got two connection points. Led by the Spirit of God. What does it mean from that little tiny verse? Well, that verse starts with a because or a for. The English word saying that there's a cause going on here. Something in verse 14 is connected to what went before it, verses 12 through 13. But it also ends with a connection point. It says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are something. So we're going to look at that phrase, led by the Spirit of God, here in Romans 8:14, and recognize something comes before it and something follows it. Two great truths are here. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, first of all, if you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are going to be experiencing verse 13. Verse 13, second half says, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so, a person who is led by the Spirit of God is going to be a person who is prompted by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God to do a killing off of sin. A person who is led by the Spirit of God will be killing the misdeeds of the body or the misdeeds of the flesh. And it's really important you get the pronoun here that I'm going to use. A person who is led by the Spirit of God will be actively engaged in the killing off of their own sin. Maybe you've met someone that felt it was their spiritual duty and empowering of the Spirit to kill off someone else's sin, maybe your sin. That's not what the text is saying here. Yes, there are people who have a gift of exhortation Sometimes we refer to that gift as a prophetic gifting, where they recognize sin in others and try to exercise that gift to help others. And the church needs that ministry when it's done right. But oh, so often it's done wrong. But that's not what's being spoken of here. That'll be coming up in 14. But here in 8, we're talking about the primary work and the first work that has to happen. Now, that's the Holy Spirit's work of killing off sin in us, in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, He'll be actively leading you in the killing off of your sin. The misdeeds of the body is how it's referred to. You see, we have a natural body. And this natural body has been contaminated by the fall of mankind and by sin. And this natural body has urges and desires and wants, and it wants to put itself first. It's selfish. It's egotistical. It wants to meet its own needs. And if we follow the body, we're going to be hurting people. And we're going to be hurting ourselves. And we're not going to be, most importantly, glorifying God. The role of the Holy Spirit is to make inside of us, do inside of us a transformation so that we are becoming more and more like Christ, and the things that flow out of our body are glorifying things, God glorifying things. And so in order for that to happen, the Holy Spirit does a work of killing off in us the misdeeds of the body. The leading of the Spirit will bring about that killing off. Verse 5. Well, actually, let me back up even further, get the context of it. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so God condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, we're going to be living according to the Spirit. And that living according to the Spirit is going to result in the misdeeds being killed off and the fulfillment of God's wants, the fulfillment of God's instructions, the fulfillment of God's law occurring in us. The things God wants for you are going to be more and more evident in you if you're led by the Spirit. The things that God doesn't want for you are going to be less and less evident as the Spirit is leading you. Now, why is this important? Because some distort the teaching of the leading of the Holy Spirit and imply that it's just all these strange emotional impulses. And I have an impulse to do something, and so I'll do it. And I don't have an impulse to do something, so I won't do it. But the problem is we don't live just by impulses. We can't even trust our impulses. Every impulse we receive has to be run through the grid of God's truth to discern if that really was an impulse from the Holy Spirit or not. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are committed to being led by the Holy Spirit, don't just live by impulses. We live by the Word of God, by His clear instruction. And we look at God's Word and God's instructions and God's desires for us, and then we look at our lives and say, are we making progress in living more and more like Jesus? If we are, then we can say, I'm being led by the Spirit, because that's what the Spirit does in us. But if we're just going this way and that way and this impulse and that impulse, and our lives are bearing no fruit and making no progress in holiness, then we could say we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. I love the emotional experiences when the Spirit works and the Spirit moves, and there's times of great joy. I've had times of high worship that were just so enriching and rejuvenating, where it just was obvious that the Holy Spirit was moving amongst us, moving in me, prompting me to declare praise and adoration. And I celebrate those. But that is not the only thing we mean when we talk about being led by the Spirit. Here, the work of the Holy Spirit is killing off of sin. So I ask you, are you making progress in that? Is there a commitment in you to continually be evaluating God's truth in your life to see if more and more your life looks like God's instruction manual? Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He leads you to kill off sin, the misdeeds of the body. But that is linked intimately with this second point. In fact, you cannot separate them, because he does the killing off of sin in you by the fact that we are sons of God. Verse 15 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, when the Bible uses the phrase sons like that, it's not including daughters. But the Bible was written with mostly a male orientation, although it very clearly in spots says there is no longer male or female. It's inclusive of all peoples. Some Bibles try to go in and retranslate the original language so it makes it gender neutral or gender inclusive. And I understand what they're getting at. But I think that's the job of the preacher or the teacher to explain that that's included. I don't think we should change the actual text. It says sons of God in the original Greek. That's what it means. That's what it says. We should read it that way and then explain that when it says sons of God, it includes daughters of God. And so here's this amazing thing. If you are led by the Spirit of God, that means you are a child of God, a son of God, or a daughter of God. The killing off of sin that occurs as you are led by the Spirit of God doesn't happen separated from the fact that you are God's child. It happens in this relationship. It happens in this intimate connection that when you say yes to Christ's death on the cross, when you appropriate his redemptive work, when you recognize that he was a sacrifice of atonement, you yield your heart to him, you invite him to save you from your sins, you turn from sin, turn to faith. When that happens, you are born spiritually, and inside of you comes to dwell the Holy Spirit. And he affirms that that is happening by leading you into this experience of, and even an emotional understanding of, of your sonship or daughtership. This is the first time in this amazing book of Romans that this concept of being a child of God is communicated. Maybe this is a familiar concept to us, that we are God's children. But this is the first time in this book, this amazing epistle written to the church in Rome, that this idea of being a son of God or a daughter of God is here. And he hits it hard and strong and repeatedly. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So boom, 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 four verses in a row, sonship, adoption, heirs of God, God's children. He hits it hard and strong and tries to drive it home that the work of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of being led by the Spirit, the result of being led by the Spirit is that you will understand you are God's child. You will receive that reality of being God's son or God's daughter. And when you are God's son, when you are God's daughter, then that work of killing off sin can happen. And then that work of you being made more and more like Jesus will occur. Because it's not an external thing. See, it said earlier on the law was unable to do what the law was supposedly supposed to do, and that was weakened by the sinful nature. So God did in us. He did it in us by His Spirit. He lives in us by His Spirit to allow us now to, in a relationship with Him of love and adoration and affection, become like Him and actually fulfill His desires because we want to, not we have to. I love being a dad. But I hate disobedient children. No, wait a minute. I hate disobedience in children. I love my disobedient children. It's easier to love them more when they are obedient. I wish I didn't have to have laws written down about what to do in the house. But there is a period of time when a child doesn't understand the right things to do. So home and life rules are necessary. But isn't it great when the child wants to do what the parents want them to do? And that's what's being talked about here. When you're a child of God, you want to do what God wants you to do. Because you want to be close to Him. You want to be connected and intimate and enjoying His warm emotions that He has for you. Are you led by the Spirit? If you are led by the Spirit, then something should be happening inside of you. When you look to God, you don't see Him as a slave master. You don't have an attitude of fear again. You don't say, oh God, you're so holy, I want to go hide, I want to run from You. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then inside of you is going to be this thing where you look to God and you say, oh Abba, Daddy, Father, I want You. I want to be close to You. I want to hear from You. I want to worship You. I want to live a life that brings You glory. I want to dance in such a way that puts a smile on Your face. There's inside of you, by the leading of the Spirit, a desire for God. Because He is your Father who loves you. That's a work of the Spirit. That's how the Spirit leads. He leads to create and to elicit and bring forth out of you a cry of Abba. See, there's a word that's not translated into English. It's an Aramaic word. It's not even a Hebrew word. It's Aramaic. And the verb used there is cry. Cry is an intense emotional word. But if the Spirit is leading you, there's going to be coming a cry of Abba. That doesn't happen by an external force. That doesn't happen by coercion. That only happens as God does something on the inside to birth spiritual life, to bring you into this relationship, to make you a son, to make you a daughter. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God according to Romans chapter 8? Two things. If you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are a son or daughter of God. And out of you is going to come this cry of saying, I want You, Daddy. I love You, Daddy. And if you are led by the Spirit of God as a son or daughter of God, then you are going to be in a constant war against sin that seems to be constantly trying to trip you up and keep you from enjoying that relationship with your Father. You're not going to be content to drift through life indulging the impulses that are flesh prompted or world prompted, but you're going to be living a life that wants to please God. You'll be warring against sin. You won't attain perfection, but you will continue to make war against sin because you love your Daddy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that when You died on the cross, You paid the penalty for all the sins of all who would turn to You. And so, by faith, we reach out our hands of faith and we say, we want You. We say yes to You. We appropriate Your redemptive work on our lives. And we invite You, Holy Spirit, to fill us and then lead us Lead us into a recognition of our sonship or daughtership. Lead us into an ever intensifying emotional connection with you, our Heavenly Father. And lead us in this fight against sin, that we would make war against the misdeeds of the body, that we might live lives that more and more reflect your holiness and bring you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.